The Nightingale Conant Corporation presents Synchro Destiny with Dr. Deepak Chopra. In his many best-selling books and audio programs, as well as in his seminars around the world, Deepak Chopra has explored the fascinating points of intersection between leading-edge science and timeless spiritual wisdom. Now, in these 16 audio sessions and their companion workbook, Dr. Chopra reveals how the seemingly random events of everyday life are, in fact, anything but random. He explains how the chance meetings and apparent coincidences that happen every day are actually profound expressions of nature's grand design. And most important of all, he shows how you can use these so-called synchronicities to dramatically transform all areas of your life, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. With Synchro Destiny, you'll discover that the power to live your dreams is within your grasp at this very instant. You need only to recognize that power, understand it, and begin putting it to use. Once you do, you'll see that abundance and fulfillment are not qualities to be struggled for, but are simply your true destiny as a human being. And now, here's Dr. Chopra.
In Sanskrit, the word Veda means life. The essence and kernel of Vedic wisdom is often referred to as Vedanta. Vedanta deals with the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and the place of life in the universe as a whole. According to Vedanta, there are only two symptoms of enlightenment, just two indications that a transformation is taking place within you toward a higher level of consciousness. The first symptom is that you stop worrying. Things don't bother you anymore. You become light-hearted and full of joy. The second symptom is that you encounter more and more meaningful coincidences in your life, more and more synchronicities, and this accelerates to the point where you actually experience the miraculous. Because a miracle is just a synchronistic event in which the time span between the intention of an event and the manifestation of the event is dramatically shortened. That's what synchronicity is all about, and that's what spirituality is about too. Whatever spiritual tradition you study anywhere in the world, you also hear about miracles. So losing your worries is one symptom of enlightenment, and increased synchronicity is the second one. And that's it. Those are the only two symptoms of enlightenment. Whether you're a vegetarian or not, really doesn't matter. Whether you believe in the peace movement or not, it doesn't matter. After all, there are a lot of people who believe in a lot of things, but they're full of worries. They can't sleep at night. They have a big burden on their shoulders. A person might have been in a monastery for 30 years, but it may not matter. They're not moving in the right direction, because according to Vedanta, there are only two symptoms, that we are becoming intimate with the Spirit. So you can see why I consider this program on synchronicity or meaningful coincidence to be a very important one. It's especially important because, in my opinion, synchronicity is not something that just happens by itself, just as spiritual development doesn't happen by itself. We can foster synchronicity by introducing attention, and we can use synchronicity by introducing intention. When those two elements, attention and intention, are linked to the phenomenon of meaningful coincidence, synchronicity is transformed into synchro-destiny, and our lives are transformed into something that's truly magical. The purpose of this program is to show what that means and to explain in detail exactly how you can make it happen. The first time I heard about synchronicity was for me a synchronistic event. I was reading about Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist, on a plane flight from New Delhi to London, and then from London to New York. Jung was an early colleague of Freud, but they eventually had some fundamental disagreements. Freud believed that altered states of consciousness were essentially forms of psychosis, forms of insanity, but Jung thought of altered states as the capacity to be in touch with a hidden reality. One of Jung's most important books deals with dreams, premonitions, and wishes. As I was reading this book on the plane from India to England, Jung was discussing a patient who had described a dream. In this dream, there was a very large beetle, a scarab beetle, and it was trying to break through the patient's window in his bedroom. As the patient was describing this dream to Carl Jung, they heard a rattle, and Jung looked around and saw that a beetle was trying to break in through the window pane. So this was a synchronistic event. The patient was describing his dream, and then that very thing happened in real life, just at the moment that he was describing it. So I was reading about this on the plane. Just at the moment that I read that sentence, the pilot announced that if you look out of your window on the right side of the plane, we are flying over, guess what city? Lucerne, Switzerland. So immediately I was convinced that there was some message here for me, that I was going to pursue this topic of synchronicity. I've been thinking about that topic ever since, and out of it has evolved this new concept of synchrodestiny. In your own life, the more you become aware of these events, the more they will happen. The more attention you put on synchronicity, the more frequently you'll encounter it. Because there's a very important principle that says, whatever you put your attention on becomes stronger. If you withdraw your attention from something, it becomes weaker. So one of the first things I'd like to suggest on a practical level is that you start paying attention to the synchronistic events that happen in your life. The more you're alert to them, the more they will happen. And then when you introduce intention, your intentions will be expressed and manifested through these events. So, to sum this up for a moment, synchronicity is always a coming together of seemingly unlikely events. Seemingly unlikely. On the surface, it seems like pure coincidence. But in reality, there's much more to it than that. So right now, at the outset, let me suggest something very practical that you should begin to do. Start putting attention on the synchronistic events that happen in your life. And also introduce the intention that you'll experience at least one synchronistic event each day. Then later, have the intention of experiencing at least two synchronistic events. Gradually, you'll see these things begin to accelerate in your life, because attention and intention make any phenomenon grow stronger. Not long ago, I was talking with someone who was quite skeptical about ideas like spirituality or a consciousness-created universe or the interplay of mind and matter. This person was oriented toward what he called a nuts and bolts understanding of how the world works. He was a very well-educated person with a background in science and engineering, and he felt very strongly that if something exists, there should be a way of quantifying it. If there really is a spiritual power present in the world, we ought to be able to detect it and measure it with an instrument of some sort, the way we can measure electricity or x-rays or what's happening in the stock market. But if we can't verify the existence of something in that way, then we can't really say it exists. This was the way my friend looked at it. Then he said something that really surprised me. He said that once, many years earlier, he had actually tried to test the presence of a spiritual influence in human events, and the test had failed. Really? I said. How did that test work? Well, he said, it was a long time ago, when he was a child, in fact, because those are the kinds of things children think about. He was at a professional baseball game, and the game was kind of slow. It was getting toward the end, and there had been only a few hits all day, and it really wasn't too interesting to watch. For some reason, though, this little boy sitting in the grandstand decided to turn this dull baseball game into something really interesting. In fact, he decided to turn it into a test of the nature of the universe. He looked up into the sky and he thought, if there really is something out there, whether it's the God that's described in the Bible, or the gods that have been worshipped in ancient civilizations, or a kind of radioactivity, or some force that might be the subject of a science fiction movie, he challenged this power to prove its existence by producing a home run on the next pitch. So the pitcher threw the ball, and the batter swung his bat. And sure enough, it was a home run. When he told me this, I was really amazed. And I said, but weren't you totally stunned? Even though you were just a small boy, didn't the way you saw the world completely change? Didn't you decide to educate yourself to find out what this meant and how such a thing could possibly happen? Well, no, he said. I just thought it was just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Something out of the ordinary happens, and if we look at it a certain way, it can be extremely meaningful and significant. Perhaps even life-transforming. But if we look at it another way, it's just a coincidence. We can dismiss it and get back to whatever seems more important. Think back on your own life. Right now, off the top of your head, you could probably mention several things that seem like extraordinary coincidences. And if you sit down and think about it for a while, you could probably remember dozens of extremely unlikely events that seem to totally defy the laws of probability. Amazing things. A person reads an article on some obscure topic, and the next day he meets someone who needs information on that very subject. Someone is badly injured in an accident in a remote location, and a car comes by to rescue her, even though no one has passed that way in months. The telephone rings with a call from a long-lost friend, just as you were thinking about that person for the first time in years. But when something like that happens, what can you do with it? How can you understand it? What can you learn from it? How can you connect with it so that your life gets better, both materially and spiritually? Most people don't really know how to think about those kinds of events, so they have to tell themselves, well, it was just a coincidence. It seemed to have a meaning, but I can't really penetrate it, so wondering about it is just a dead end. Of course, there are people who have devoted a great deal of thought to synchronicity. There are people who have devoted years to compiling records of synchronicities in their own lives and in the lives of people they've interviewed. There are thousands and thousands of pages of these things. But we all know that these events occur. So there's really not much to be gained from just raw record-keeping of meaningful coincidence. I should point out also that there have been arguments against the existence of synchronicity. Let me spend just a moment discussing some of these, because they're quite interesting, but in the end, I don't find them at all convincing. Suppose, for instance, you've just met someone and during the course of a conversation, it comes up that you both share the same birthday. You say to yourself, what a coincidence, what a synchronicity. But then a statistician or someone with a background in applied mathematics comes along and says, wait a minute, let's take a closer look at this. Suppose over the course of your lifetime, you meet 200 people that you ask about their birthdays. Mathematically, we can predict exactly how many of those people will have been born on the same date as yourself. And that's exactly the number of such people you'll actually meet. Since the number is quite small, it will seem like a surprise when you meet someone with the same birthday. But statistically, it's exactly the opposite of a surprise. Here's another example of how statistical methods have been used to dispute what seem to be very improbable events. Some years ago, Pete Rose, the baseball player, got a hit in 28 consecutive games. Nothing like this had happened since Joe DiMaggio had gotten a hit in 56 games many years earlier. All this was being followed very closely in the sports media, and then a mathematician came up with a very interesting experiment. He calculated the total number of times professional ball players had been at bat in all the games since Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak ended. Then, based on the batting averages of all the players in those 25 or 30 years, he was able to make a very interesting inference. It was statistically probable that one player would get a hit in 28 consecutive games over all those years, and that is exactly what happened. What had seemed to be a very unlikely event turned out to be almost mathematically inevitable. This is one of the most common arguments against the notion of synchronicity. Even Richard Feynman, one of the greatest physicists since Einstein, argued against synchronicity based on this principle. Very simply stated, the principle is that if we know the total number of opportunities in which an event might occur, we can make a mathematical prediction about the number of times that event will actually occur. And if we've done the math correctly, that prediction will be borne out in reality. According to this argument, the problem with synchronicity is that it doesn't consider the number of times when something might have happened, but did not. It doesn't consider coincidences in the context of all the times when coincidences did not come to pass. Despite the impressive credentials of the people who have made this point, I really don't find it convincing. Let's look at the idea that anything can be statistically predicted if we know the total number of chances for it to happen. That might be effective if we are talking about shared birthdays or hits in a baseball game, but many synchronistic events are so unique that it's impossible to define the context in which they occur. And if we can't define the context, we certainly can't make a prediction about events within that context. Let me give an example. I met a young man who fell very much in love with a woman who liked to sing. He was totally infatuated with her. Later in the program, we'll be discussing more about the power of love and emotion on the transformation of consciousness. But for right now, let's just say that this young man was completely captivated by a woman who liked to sing. Unfortunately, he was only with her for a very short time before they went their separate ways. But he thought about her many times every day. As it happened, he lived not far from a music school, a conservatory, and sometimes in his spare time he would take a walk past the music school, which reminded him of the woman he cared about so deeply. During these walks, it would occur to him that perhaps someday he would see her around the music school, although there was no real reason for thinking this might happen, since as far as he knew, she lived 10,000 miles away. Since this is a program about synchronicity, you probably aren't surprised to learn that one day as he was passing the music school, she walked out exactly at the very second that he was passing the door, so that they almost bumped into each other. For the young man we're talking about, this was an incredible surprise. And how could an event like that be predicted mathematically? How could you determine the total number of times people in love walk around music schools in order to determine the predicted number of times they'll run into their girlfriends right in front of the door? One thing everyone agrees about is that many people have thought about the phenomenon of meaningful coincidence over a very long period of time. The ancient Chinese technique of divination known as the I Ching, which has existed for many thousands of years, is based on the principle that similar things seem to happen at the same time, that events occur in clusters. You've probably heard the piece of folk wisdom that says bad things happen in clusters of three. This kind of affinity is one of the basic ideas behind the I Ching. More recently, Carl Jung understood synchronicity in psychological and mythological terms. But what's really needed is a way of understanding these events so that we can do more than just shake our heads. it's not really enough to say that synchronicity exists and is kind of interesting. The real goal must be not just acknowledging or even understanding, but using synchronicity as well. That's what synchrodestiny is all about, and that's the purpose of this program. In listening to everything we've said so far about synchronicity, there are people who would say, but aren't you making an awfully big issue out of a rather inconsequential subject? Aren't you magnifying the importance of coincidence? After all, the very word coincidence usually denotes something that's inconsequential. I would like to suggest, however, that the kind of coincidence, synchronicity, and its transformation into synchrodestiny is in fact a very, very significant subject, both in your day-to-day life and in understanding how the universe works. In fact, let's look at the word synchronicity. The word synchronicity is derived from two roots, chronos, which means time, and synchronos therefore means many things happening at the same time. And why are these many things happening at the same time? To fulfill a desire or an intention that you had. Similarly, the word coincidence, coincident, means many incidents happening at the same time. Coincidence. So many incidents happening at the same time. And why are they happening at the same time? In order to fulfill an intention or a desire that you had. So don't look at coincidence as something that happens by chance, because in fact this is the very way the universe works and the intelligence of the universe works. I want to emphasize an extremely important difference between synchronicity, which is the usual term for meaningful coincidence, and synchrodestiny. In physics, there is the term velocity, and velocity has two components. Velocity implies speed, but it also implies trajectory or direction. Strictly speaking, if we know the speed of an object, but we don't know its direction, then we don't know its velocity. In a similar way, synchrodestiny is coincidence, but it contains a purpose. It contains a meaning. It has a direction. It has intention. And where do those qualities come from? They come from you. You provide the interpretation, and you create the action that turns synchronicity into synchrodestiny. After all, a miracle is only a miracle if someone recognizes it and is inspired by it. In the first few books of the Old Testament, Genesis and Exodus, God is always creating miracles in order to inspire action on the part of the people. And it's amazing how often they fail to recognize the message. According to some traditional interpretations of the Bible, when God opened the Red Sea so that the Israelites could pass, and then closed the sea again so that the Pharaoh's pursuing army was drowned, many of the Israelites saw nothing unusual. They were so downhearted after being slaves for many years, and then they suddenly had to pick up all their belongings and flee, that they just trudged right across the Red Sea and took it all for granted. A miracle is not a miracle unless it's recognized. Synchronicity is not synchrodestiny unless it's infused with awareness and intention and understanding. This miracle is all around us, but we've got to inject our own consciousness into it, or it really doesn't exist. With our consciousness and our intention, we can change what might have been mere coincidence into a genuine instrument of transformation. I sometimes describe this as the spontaneous manifestation of desire in the field of infinite possibilities. And that's exactly what can happen. This manifestation of our desires is not just in the material things we want to bring to our lives, or the people we want to meet, or the things we want to do. It's also the fulfillment of the larger purpose of our existence, our inherent desire to achieve a higher level of consciousness, our desire to become intimate with the spirit out of which everything else arises. This is the kind of desire the poet Rumi was referring to when he wrote that there are gods and goddesses within us, and their only wish is to be born. I'm convinced that once you understand synchrodestiny, you will understand nothing less than the dynamics and mechanics of creation itself. But if that seems a bit abstract, I can also assure you that through synchrodestiny, you can develop the ability to manifest abundance in your everyday life. Abundance can mean many things. It can mean material wealth. It can mean emotional well-being and spiritual fulfillment. Abundance can mean the ability to fully experience love and compassion. It can mean feeling joy and being able to spread joy to others. And at the most fundamental level, an understanding of synchrodestiny can provide a sense of spiritual abundance, a sense that our lives are truly connected at every moment to the creative power of the universe. This power is the intelligence that orchestrates the whole dance of creation on every scale, from the furthest reaches of the cosmos to the events of our own daily lives. There are 7 key principles that must be grasped. Master these 7 principles and you will have mastered synchrodestiny. You will know the secrets of how the invisible is transformed to the visible. How what has been only dimly felt becomes what is absolutely clear and tangible. These 7 principles are the starting points for everything you learn in this program, and the process of mastering them will follow a very clear path. It's best to concentrate on the individual principles one at a time, really focus on them, and then go on to the next until you're finally ready to put them all together. Here are the 7 principles that underlie synchrodestiny. Right now, I'll briefly describe each one, and on the tapes that follow, they'll be discussed in much more detail. The first principle of synchrodestiny is the existence of the conscious energy field. By that I mean the underlying intelligence that gives rise to my body and your body and to the universe as a whole, from the stars and galaxies down to the atoms and molecules. All this is really the extended body which we all share. The conscious energy field is really the antithesis of the idea that the universe is a machine or a clock or some other mechanism that operates essentially without consciousness or awareness or intention. I refer to the second principle as creating cosmic connections. Understanding how human relationships operate is one of the most important keys to synchrodestiny. In the West, we tend to think that the principles of the natural world exist separately from human thoughts and feelings. We may acknowledge that networking and meeting lots of new people is important to our careers, but this is really just using human relationships as a tactic. In mastering synchrodestiny, the ability to create positive human relationships is much more than a tactic. It's fundamental, in the same way that gravity is fundamental or having air to breathe is fundamental. Creating cosmic connections means creating the human environment in which synchrodestiny can take place. The third principle, which I call mastering inner dialogue, concerns the way your mind literally creates reality and the ways in which you can transform reality to create abundance. Here's a quick example of what this means. Suppose you're dissatisfied with your job and you want to find a new one. You start looking through the newspapers and talking to friends who are familiar with your career, but nothing turns up. If you were asked to describe the situation, you might shrug your shoulders and say, "Well, there's just nothing out there for me. I looked around, but there just wasn't anything out there." Now let me contrast this analysis with another example from a very different part of the world. Supposing a hunter in the Amazon rainforest is having difficulty finding game. If he goes to a shaman to deal with the situation, neither the hunter nor the shaman look anywhere but within the hunter himself for the solution to the problem. It never occurs to them to say something like, "There's no game out there," because they know there is game out there. The problem is that something within the hunter is preventing him from finding the game. Maybe something within the hunter is even driving the game away. So the shaman asks the hunter to participate in a ritual that's designed to change what's in the hunter's heart and mind, because it's the heart and mind that control the external reality. This is an area in which I think we have a great deal to learn from traditional societies, because we really underestimate the extent to which we literally create the world around us. When we find ourselves looking at the world and saying, there's nothing out there, we should probably also look into our heart and ask, if there's nothing out there, is there anything in here? What's in here is what I mean by inner dialogue. And mastering inner dialogue is the third principle of synchrodestiny. The fourth principle is the art of penetrating the conspiracy of improbabilities. This is a very exciting area of the program, and it can really be a lot of fun. Penetrating the conspiracy of improbabilities means learning to recognize meaningful coincidences. It means learning to see them as opportunities rather than just little breaks in your daily routine. The fifth principle deals with harnessing emotional turbulence. Once we understand that external reality can't be separated from internal reality, once we understand that the universe really is our extended body, it becomes very clear that negative energy within ourselves is very destructive. Emotional turbulence is a major barrier to the spontaneous fulfillment of desire. And transforming negative energy into a higher level of awareness is the fifth principle of mastering synchrodestiny. The sixth principle is learning to use the infinite organizing power of intention. Again, mastering this principle means letting go of the idea that the universe is basically an inert machine. It means getting beyond the idea that there are certain forces like gravity or electromagnetism, and that these forces control the universe to the utter exclusion of a force from within ourselves, such as intention. But intention is a force of nature, just like gravity, and we'll be discussing this in connection with the sixth principle. The seventh and final principle is really about taking the ideas presented at the beginning of the program about the conscious energy field and making them the guideposts of your own life, just as they are the ruling principles of the universe. Awareness that these principles are not just abstractions, that they are operating in everything we do, is really more than just awareness. It's really a kind of celebration. I refer to it as celebrating the cosmic dance. And that's also the name I've given to the seventh principle of synchrodestiny. When you have mastered synchrodestiny, when you have learned to synchronize your inner life with the universe itself, you are celebrating the cosmic dance. We really can recognize the connection between how we live our lives and the way the universe works, and we can live in harmony with that connection. In closing this first session, I want to mention something that's very important for you to understand. For me, creating this program is the result of a long sequence of events going back many years. And for you too, listening to the program has come about at this moment after all the events of your lifetime, after all the thoughts and insights and hopes and dreams. All of this has brought you and me together in this way, with me speaking and you listening. But listening at some point in time that is invisible to me now. This in itself is an incredible synchronicity. That in itself testifies to a karmic connection between you and me, and we'll be talking more about karma in the sessions that follow. During the next two sessions, we'll be talking about the scientific ideas that underlie synchrodestiny. It's important to understand the theoretical basis, because once you see that there's clearly a scientific basis for it, then you'll never have any doubt, and the only thing that can really interfere with synchronicity is doubt. So the next two sessions provide the scientific foundation, and it's important for you to grasp that foundation. You should feel free, however, to listen to the program sessions in any order you choose, at least on the first listening. This is a very ambitious program about a very profound and challenging subject. But it's also a subject that's fascinating and even a lot of fun. So if you look at the program contents and see a session title that captures your interest, go ahead and listen to it right away if you like. Look through the workbook also, but at some point, whether you choose to do it now or later, it's very important to listen to the next two sessions, which present the scientific foundation.